Luke chapter 13. Tonight we are going to speak on the subject loose from bondage. And many of you that were at the spiritual warfare seminar yesterday, I'm sure that you were blessed in your own soul. We had 300 people here yesterday in this building. We found out through the week that we can seat 306 people in this building, and we had 300 in here yesterday. It was a great day. Now, with your Bibles open tonight at Luke 13, verses 10 through 17, by the grace of God and by the illumination which will come by the Holy Spirit, let us see what the Lord Jesus Christ did for the woman in the physical realm and what I believe Christ can do for anyone in the spiritual realm. And the very first thing we notice here in this story tonight that was read to us a little earlier is that this woman endured bondage. Will you please notice that Jesus Christ in the synagogue on that day long ago immediately pointed to the activity of Satan in this woman's life. In verse 16 of Luke 13, Christ said, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" Will you notice the direct approach of the Lord Jesus Christ? He went right to the one who was the originator behind the infirmity. And will you please also notice that he put his finger right on the cause of her bondage, which she had endured, and that which he said was the activity of Satan. Now, you and I should not be surprised that Satan is alive and well, and many times he's been very active in our lives. Because if we open the Bible, we shall see right from Genesis through to Revelation that Satan is always active in keeping men and women and young people away from the blessings of God, and indeed away from the purposes of God for their lives. There was a time when the Church of Jesus Christ was strong. There were times when there were preachers who would preach without fear of man, and young people would respond, and the Holy Spirit would take their lives, and they would commit those lives to the purposes of God for their life. They would go to the mission field. Many would go into colleges and train to be pastors and train to be evangelists. But the sad indictment on the Christian church today, generally speaking, is simply this, that Satan has many Christians in neutral. They're neither going forward and neither going backward. They're going nowhere. And the Bible also clearly teaches that God made man for fellowship with himself, that man ought to glorify God and enjoy God forever. But it was not very long when Satan came on the scene, trying to disturb that which God had created. Many of you know the story well in Genesis chapter 3. And you will recall, if you know the story well, how Satan first of all suggested that God was not good. And then Satan went on to offer to our first parents, Adam and Eve, a very definite enticement. And sadly, Eve and Adam yielded to that enticement. And we all know the tragic results that are enveloped in the original sin that was caused there in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says, because of what happened, the Lord God sent him, that is Adam, forth from the Garden of Eden, and he, God, placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Beloved people, that was the beginning of misery and all the sorrow and all the heartache of fallen mankind. And the principle here is simply this. Satan was the originator of it all. And then when God the Son came from glory to undo all that had been done and to restore all that had been lost, once again Satan was there seeking to hinder Christ's ministry at every point. You know that after Christ had his public baptism and his dedication to the public ministry, that there were three temptations with which very few Christians are familiar. And did you know that the whole thrust of those temptations was to move Christ away from a position of confidence in and an obedience to the Father, and if successful, ultimately away from the will of the Father? What Satan tried there in the wilderness with Jesus Christ the Son of God long ago, Satan tries in every gospel meeting. Tonight he will try and keep you away from the will of God for your life. But if you know the story of those temptations, you will recall how the Lord Jesus Christ defeated Satan by the word of God. You remember how Satan came to Christ and he said, "It is written." But you know how the Lord Jesus came back to Satan and said, "It is also written." And that is why we need to study the word of God. We need to know what the Bible teaches. We are not to just pick up our Bibles and read them as a bedtime story. We are to pick up the word of God and study it and study and understand what it teaches. But you know as well as I do that that conflict there in the wilderness was not the end. The Bible says of Satan that he departed from Christ for a season. And that's a very interesting phrase. He departed for a season. And he's been doing that ever since. And then we see our lovely Lord Jesus Christ as he gathers his disciples whom he taught, those who had watched his miracles, those who had every opportunity to study his personality. And do you remember how at Caesarea Philippi they confessed that he was the Messiah? And how Christ pointed out to them that he was a Messiah who was not going to a throne but to a cross? And it was at this crucial stage that Satan once again tried to turn Christ away from his mission, and through no less a person than Peter on this occasion. And the Bible says, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him," that is Christ, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But listen to what the Lord did. The Lord turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And once again we see Christ brush Satan aside. But the worst was yet to come. The fiercest conflict of all was in the Garden of Gethsemane, that is, just before the cross. And oh, how I personally thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ there in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." And I thank God that he went on to cry on the cross, "It is finished." And the principle here is this. Satan tried so hard to turn the Lord Jesus Christ away from his divine purpose, but he did not succeed. But if Satan did not succeed in turning the Lord Jesus Christ away from providing salvation, let me ask you to cast your mind back to the days before your conversion. It was Satan who tried hard to keep you from Christ, wasn't it? You think back. Your friends and your loved ones were praying for you, and there was conflict in your life. But thank God you came to Christ and became a believer. But listen to me now as I tell you this biblical truth. Satan is still keeping you away from the very best that God has for you. Yes, indeed, you are being kept from the fullness of God's salvation. And the activity in that woman in Luke 13 is in many Christians tonight. Now, what was it that Satan was able to do in this woman's life? Firstly, we notice that she experienced bondage. God had intended this woman to be erect, that is, physically upright, straight. And what was her condition? She was bent over, and she had been like that for 18 years. Isn't that the picture of many Christians tonight? God has intended that those Christians should be upright, straight, or to put it in a biblical term, righteousness. And did you know that God has recreated us in the Lord Jesus Christ to be righteous? Did you know that we are recreated to be upright, to be straight? My father, when I was a boy, would say many sayings, and I remember them vividly now in the ministry. He would look at a certain person in a certain town, and he would say, "That person cannot lay straight in bed." He said, "They're crooked no matter which way they lay." We were created. No, we were recreated to be upright, to be straight. Now, just in case there be any doubt about what it means to be righteous, Christ himself has spelled it out for us in the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to the words of Christ. "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And there on the Sermon on the Mount, he also spoke about no unclean desires. He said, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in her heart. And then he spoke about truthfulness, perfect truthfulness. He said, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, but let your communication be yes or no. Well, the list is endless, but the principle is this. We are recreated in Jesus Christ to be righteous, to be straight, to be upright. Could it be that there is something in your life, like unclean desires, a lying spirit, anger, that has you in bondage tonight? There are many husbands in bondage tonight. There are many wives tonight in bondage. There are many fathers tonight in bondage. There are many mothers tonight in bondage. There are many young people tonight in bondage. And those people in bondage have a lying spirit. They have been deceitful. There is anger in their heart. There are unclean desires in their heart. There is the spirit of lust in them. And those people are in bondage, and they have been in bondage for years. But God intended you to be upright. He intended you to be straight. He intended you to be honest and truthful. He intended you to be honest and truthful in your marriage relationship, in your home, and with your children. He intended that children be honest and truthful with their parents. But you know, and the Holy Spirit is convicting you now because you know that the Lord Jesus Christ knows you through and through. You cannot lie straight in bed. One of the things I found very interesting in the deliverance ministry when I strike a very tough demonic spirit is that it will throw the human being onto the floor, and that human being will coil up just as if it is inside the mother. But God intended you to be straight. And God has made provision in your recreation in Jesus Christ that you be straight. But you've been held in bondage by some sin. This woman not only experienced bondage, but she endured bondage. And the phrase, she had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together or bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself, tells me that she could not straighten herself. It's very interesting to note that the little phrase, in no wise, is a translation of the same phrase in Greek that we have in Hebrews 7:25. Those of you who are Greek scholars, you'll pick it up immediately. Hebrews 7:5 says, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. He is able. And the Greek meaning in Luke 13 says, she is not able. He is able. When we look at that phrase in Hebrews 7:25, there we have the utmost of the power in Jesus Christ. I want you to catch the significance of this moment in the synagogue. He, the Son of God, is able to release you from bondage, as he was able to release that woman in the synagogue long ago, because the Greek tells us clearly that she was unable to do so herself. And you are unable to do so. He is able, the utmost of power in Christ Jesus. But in the woman, we have the utmost of powerless. The woman wanted to be straight, but she was utterly unable to straighten herself. Oh, there are many Christians like this woman. And they have gone to meeting after meeting. They have gone to convention after convention. They have made rededications of their lives, both publicly and privately. But for these people, the words of Scripture ring ever so clear in their ears. Oh, listen to them. The good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And beloved people, this woman in Luke 13 endured bondage. Are you enduring bondage? And as I look at this woman, I see something wonderful happen to her. Until Christ walked into the synagogue, she had endured bondage. But now he walks into the synagogue and she encounters Jesus Christ. I don't know whether she expected to meet Christ in the synagogue that day, but she did meet him. Now, I don't know whether you came here to the meeting tonight expecting to meet Jesus Christ, but wouldn't it be wonderful if you did meet him? Say amen. Let me tell you two things about the Lord Jesus Christ as we see him here revealed in Holy Scripture. Firstly, I see his compassion. Beloved people, I see Christ's compassion beating in his heart. But that compassion is so beautiful, and there are no words to describe it. The Bible says after the Lord had set this woman free, the religious leaders criticized him for setting her free on the Sabbath. And Christ told those religious leaders that they were very inconsistent. Jesus said, you don't mind losing your ox and your ass and taking them away to water them on the Sabbath. Now, in the original Greek, Christ made very much of their activity. There are three verbs that are used here. Regarding the ox and the ass, he says, you loose it, you take it, you water it. And Christ says in simple language, if you can do that, how much more should it be that I release this woman? Because the ox and the ass were only a dumb animal. But this woman is a daughter of Abraham. She is a believer. She is a child of God. And he says to them, your ox and your ass are only bound by a chain. And this woman has been bound by Satan. The bondage of your ox and your ass was only for a few hours. But this woman has been in bondage for 18 years. The very moment Christ introduced that comparison of the man loosing an animal and taking it away to watering, he opened a window upon his own heart. Why would a man loose his dumb animal and take it away for watering? Those of you who are animal lovers, isn't it mercy? Isn't it compassion? Beloved people, by insisting and by instituting it as well, that comparison, Christ opens what I like to think is the most beautiful thing in my own spiritual life, a window of his own heart. And that's why he wanted to set this woman free. What compassion! And as I read my Bible and as I study it, it assures me consistently that the Lord cannot bear to see his people in bondage. Those of you who are Bible lovers, who love the Old Testament, you know that way back there in the land of Egypt, we read this, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land flowing with milk and honey. Beloved, God could not bear to see his own people in bondage. And when Jesus Christ began his earthly ministry, what did he say? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach deliverance for the captives. Beloved, are you in bondage tonight? The lovely Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you and who died for you, cannot bear to see you go on in bondage. That same compassion that was beating in the heart of Christ there in the synagogue that day is still beating in the heart of the risen Christ tonight. And that compassion tonight in his heart is beating for you. Is beating for you, young people. The lustful, unclean desires that you have. The deceitfulness. The dishonesty. The disloyalty. He longs to bring you out of bondage. And as I look at the story again, I not only see Christ's compassion, but I see his control. Those of you who have worked with me and been in the deliverance room when we've been working with demonic spirits, you have seen the control of Christ at work, have you not?
Bible says when Jesus saw her,
he called her to him. Can you imagine her coming to Christ, all bent over? But she came to where Christ was. Will you please notice that the Bible is accurate in what it says? Christ did not go to where she was. Christ was in perfect control of the situation. He asked this woman to come where he was. And I believe that Jesus Christ is constantly calling Christians to come to where he is so that he can release them from the bondage of Satan. The tragedy is that many Christians in bondage expect Christ to come to where they are. But you must accept his control, which releases his compassion before he can do anything for you. Do you hear him calling you tonight to himself? Beloved people, this woman had endured bondage. When Christ saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. She had entered freedom. Will you please notice that it was his hands which were laid on her, and not the hands of his disciples or any other religious leaders? And nowhere in the Bible do I read of Jesus Christ laying his hands on a demon-possessed person. In demon possession, he directly addressed the demon. But in regard to demon oppression, or in simple language, a Christian in bondage to Satan, to one part of the trichotomy, he does, and he did, lay his hands on the oppressed. And the principle of the truth here is very profound, and it's not very often fully understood. There are two things that I want to draw your attention to. Firstly, the truth that brought release to this woman. He called her unto him and said unto her, Thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And I love the Greek verb here for loosed, for it is in the perfect tense, indicating that it is already done. And Luke, being a physician, has written under the guidance of the Holy Spirit a very accurate word here for us. Being in the perfect tense, it indicates that it has already been done. Christ was declaring unto her a freedom that was already hers. She was a daughter of Abraham. She was a believer. She was a child of the King. And did you know that right through the New Testament, you will find the word free and also the word freedom very often? And did you know that freedom has been provided for you by the Lord Jesus Christ? And it is a truth which, if you will accept it, will bring release. Beloved, this truth is anchored in the cross. When you come to Jesus Christ and receive your eternal salvation at the moment of conversion, the Lord Jesus Christ has done it for you. He has released you. It has already been done. But Satan has blinded the eyes of so many to that eternal truth regarding that great ministry on the cross. And Christ says to her, Thou art loosed, my daughter. Thou art loosed. I've already released you. And beloved, it is by the Christ of the cross and by this truth that will bring release to you tonight. But this woman was not only released, she was renewed. The Bible says he laid his hands on her. For 18 years she'd been bowed over or bowed over. She'd been held in bondage. And when Christ proclaimed to this woman her glorious deliverance, he knew that the body was still weak. But then there came the divine touch. And the Bible says immediately she was made straight. Beloved people, if you are in bondage at this moment, you haven't claimed the freedom that has been purchased for you on the cross. You have longed to be made straight. But you have tried so often in your own strength, and there have been times when you have wanted Christ to come to where you are. But again tonight he is saying to you, no. You come to where I am. If you will only claim the freedom that has been purchased for you on the cross, and will yield your life utterly and unreservedly to the Lord Jesus Christ,
and allow the mighty power of God to be yours unreservedly, you too can be straight in the home, straight in your work, straight in your school, straight in the university, straight in the colleges, straight in the street where you live, and straight among your neighbors and friends. There have been thousands of testimonies of people throughout the world who have been saved because of the Christian who, by the grace of God, were straight. You can only be straight when you are loosed from your bondage. The woman of Luke 13 had endured bondage for 18 years. For sure, the religious leaders, then as now, criticized the Lord Jesus and said it was not time to loose this woman. They all said it was the wrong time. To which Christ answered, I believe, it is not only the wrong time, but it's high time. He said, thou hypocrite, does not each of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? In simple language, the Lord Jesus Christ said, there could be no better moment than now. Beloved, haven't you been in bondage long enough? Isn't it high time that you became free? I believe that if you come to Jesus Christ tonight, to where He is, He will set you free. And I'm going to pray that God, the Holy Spirit, who takes the things of Christ and makes them known, will bring divine illumination as well as conviction to your soul. I don't know how many years you have been bent over, but you know, and the Holy Spirit knows that you are not straight. As we're bowed together in prayer, this is a very holy moment to allow the Holy Spirit to search your soul, your heart, your life. The Lord knows, you know, that you are in bondage. You long to be free. You've tried so many times in your own strength. You've fallen on your knees and you've dictated to the Lord Jesus Christ and you've pleaded with Him to come to where you are at. That's not the way. You have to come to where He is at. And you know right now inside of your entire being that you've been deceitful, dishonest, disloyal, unfaithful. Maybe you've been unfaithful in your marriage. You've been deceitful in the church. Our Father, we pray right now that nothing will hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in our meeting. We pray right now that you will bind the powers of darkness. We pray right now that we'll have clear hearing so that we will hear the living God speak to our inner being, and that we will honestly and openly, like that woman did in the synagogue long ago, we will come to where Christ is at so that He can set us free. Blessed Holy Spirit, do your work now. Glorify Christ in our midst. Amen. We're going to sing the hymn 227. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come into thy freedom, gladness and light. Jesus, I come. As we stand to sing, I know the Spirit of God has spoken tonight. I want you to be honest with the Lord Jesus and step out into that aisle and to the front and say, I'm coming, Lord Jesus, to where you're at. I'm not coming to that preacher, and you're not coming to a spot at the front of the church, but you're coming to where He's at. He's the one who's calling you. We're going to pray with you and counsel you. But I can't think of any greater joy that was that woman's that day long ago in the synagogue. She went home free. She went home straight. And tonight you can go home free. You can go home straight. You just slip out into the aisle. You need to come. You need the touch of Christ upon your life. If you need to come, you come. You just slip out into the aisle. Young people, get right with the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.